fact that we need to be still and know that He is good, that God is good. And this morning we want to look at this idea, be still and know that God is long-suffering, that He is long-suffering. The very first time that God revealed Himself to Moses, He revealed Himself as the I Am, the self-existent one. I am. You know, friend, God doesn't need you and me, but we need God. He is the self-existent one. I am. The Bible says He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And in Exodus chapter 34, we see the second time God reveals Himself to Moses. Let's look at the text together. Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 1. You know the story. Moses had taken the Ten Commandments, or those tablets of stone, and he had broken those tablets when he saw the idolatry of God's people. And so the Bible says God gives here in Exodus chapter 34 instructions on getting these commandments once again. The Bible says this in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew the old tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words which were in the first tables, which thou breakest." I mean, we're talking here about the very nature of God. The Ten Commandments reveal the holiness of God. And the law of God wasn't given to help us, but to leave us helpless, to show to us our condition, that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And so this is the revelation of the holiness of God. And the Bible says here, God says, listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to create these tables once again, these stone tables, and I will write down as was written on the first. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount." And he hewed out two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation." The second time that God reveals Himself to Moses, He reveals, or the second revelation, is a revelation of a loving Savior, a compassionate God, a God that forgives, a God that is merciful, and a God that is long-suffering. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us. I pray as we look at Your Word, I pray You would give us understanding and clarity. And Lord, I pray that through this message, we would better understand Your long-suffering. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes, patience and long-suffering are often used interchangeably, but these two words have a very different meaning. The Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 11, "Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Patience speaks of endurance. It's talking about continuance through difficulties, through trials. The Bible says that we are to run the race that is set before us, and the race that is set before us will have trials, will have difficulties, will have hard times. And so God says you need to run the race with patience. We need to continue through tribulations and trials. The word long-suffering is the word or the thought of forbearance. It means to suffer long. And this word, long-suffering, is an important word or an important characteristic of the nature of God. He is a long-suffering God. He suffers long. He shows forbearance. I heard the story about a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on her boots. He asked for help, and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots still didn't want to go on. By the time she got the second boot on, she had worked quite a bit of a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet. And she looked down, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as they worked together to get the boots back on. This time, she got them on the right feet. Then he announced, "These are my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right into his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" That's what she wanted to do. And once again, she struggled to help him take those ill-fitted boots off. And then he said, "Well, these are my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or she should cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots on his feet again. She said, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "Well, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." You know, this really illustrates for us forbearance. The Bible says that God is a God who suffers long. Another way we can describe it is in the Bible it uses the phrase that God is a God who is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. Psalm 103 verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." The Bible says in Psalm 145 verse 7, it says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." The Lord is gracious. He is full of compassion. He is slow to anger and of great mercy. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible says, "But they and their fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey." That's a sad commentary on someone's life, that they would refuse to obey God. "Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God who is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Thou art a God who is slow to anger and of great kindness. And thou forsooketh them not." This morning I want us to consider this thought: be still and know that I am long-suffering. Be still and know. We looked at that expression, to be still is to leave the matter with God. Be still and know that God is long-suffering. I have several texts, some scriptures I want us to look at. But let's look at point number one. If you are writing notes at home, I want you to write this down. Number one, the testimony of God's long-suffering. The testimony of God's long-suffering. And I want us to take our Bibles. You can hold your place in the book of Exodus. And I want us to jump into the New Testament and find 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's consider Paul's salvation testimony for just a moment. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1. Every salvation testimony is miraculous. It's marvelous to think of a sinner coming to the Lord. But there's just something wonderful about the Apostle Paul's salvation testimony. Or we could say Saul's salvation testimony. I mean, from a murderer to a missionary to one who sought to destroy the gospel to now someone who preaches the gospel and would ultimately die for that gospel message. And the testimony of the Apostle Paul is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at it together, verse 12.
1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God's faithfulness. And then we see Paul's response to God's faithfulness and God's enabling. And that's how it works in our Christian life. We respond to the work of God, and then God gives to us the enabling to do what he has called us to do. We see Paul's crimes in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He blasphemed the name of God. He persecuted the Lord Jesus, as Jesus himself said on the road to Damascus, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he was injurious, or he was one that caused injury. He tried to destroy the church of God. He tried to destroy Christians, the Bible says. But he says here in the scripture, "I obtained mercy," verse 13, "because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Verse 14, look at the scriptures. The Bible says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying. It is worthy of all acceptation." This is a faithful saying. It is worthy to be accepted of all, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the purpose of the Lord Jesus. The purpose of Jesus was that he came into this world to die for the sins of humanity. And we notice the Apostle Paul's acceptance of his condition. He says here in the scripture, "I am chief." I don't think this is Paul just using words, but I think Paul realized the wickedness of his crimes and the great mercy of God and the great abundant mercy of the Lord. He says in verse 16, look at it together, verse 16, "How be it for this cause?" What cause is he talking about? Well, he's talking about Jesus coming into this world to save sinners. This is the cause, this is the purpose, this is the plan of God. "How be it for this cause, the salvation of sinners, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus might show forth all," look at this, "all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." The pattern of God, the resume of God, the cause of God, the purpose of God is that he is, don't miss this, he is a long-suffering God for the purpose of eternal life. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I read this week the story of Thomas Jefferson. He was riding horseback cross-country when his group came to a swollen river. A traveler or a wayfaring man waited until several of the party had crossed and then hailed the president, President Jefferson, and asked if he would carry him across the river on his horse. Jefferson pulled him up onto the back of his horse and carried him to the opposite side of the river bank. And when he got to the other side, a gentleman came up to that traveler and said, "Tell me, why did you select the president to ask this favor of?" The man said, "The president." He said, "I didn't know that he was the president." He says, "All I know is that some of the faces is written the answer no. And some of the faces are written the answer yes." He said his face had yes on it. And friend, I want you to understand that the face of Jesus has yes on it when it comes for the cause of the salvation of sinners. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord wants all men to be saved. And when it comes to the salvation of souls, the Lord Jesus is not willing that any should perish. And Paul's testimony was a wretch who had found amazing grace. John Newton was a former English Navy midshipman who deserted his post and eventually became a servant on a slave trader ship. John Newton was a very wicked man. In fact, if you were to ask in those days people that he worked with, they would tell you that he was an ungodly, wicked individual. rescued from servanthood. He was converted to Christianity in 1748 at the age of 23 years old. For the next 6 years of his life, Newton commanded a slave ship, an avid reader. He educated himself by reading the Bible and other classic literatures. And due to ill health, he abandoned the sea and he took a job in Liverpool for 9 years. And during that time, he began to interact and to talk with George Whitefield and John Wesley. The reality is that John Newton was ordained to the gospel ministry in 1764, where he began to write various hymns. Of course, the most favorite timeless classic that we sing even today is Amazing Grace. And in that hymn, he penned these words: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That is the amazing testimony of the long suffering of Jesus Christ. Friend, don't forget it. He takes a wretch and makes him a witness. He takes a sinner and makes him a saint. He takes a blasphemer and makes him a blessing. He takes a persecutor and makes him a preacher. This is the testimony of the long suffering of God. He suffers long for the cause of eternal life. I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look what the scripture says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. Verse 15, 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The long suffering of our Lord. The long suffering of the Lord, the delay in his coming judgment, is a testimony of the heart of God that he wants everyone to be saved. His heart is that everyone would come to him. The Bible says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men, or mankind, or humanity, who would have all of humanity to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Take a moment with me for just one moment, and I want you to think in your mind of a movie star. I want you to think in your mind of someone famous. I want you to think of a politician in your mind right now. I want you to think in your mind someone who drives you crazy. Someone who you would say, you know, you just can't bother to be around them. I want you to think in your mind right now of a neighbor. I want you to think in your mind of a family member. You say, Pastor Burns, why are we doing this? Because I want you to know that that individual and those individuals that you thought of, God is not willing that they would die and go to hell. And the reason why Jesus didn't come back yesterday is because he is long-suffering for the cause of eternal salvation. He suffers long with their way. He suffers long with their blasphemies. He suffers long with their idolatry. Because he is a merciful God. He is slow to anger. He died for them. And the heart of God is that they would put their faith and trust in the Lord. That's the testimony of the long suffering of God. If you're taking notes this morning, would you write this down? Number two, the timing of God's long suffering. The timing of God's long suffering. You know, our human nature wants to take advantage. Our human nature will exploit a circumstance or a situation. And oftentimes, people live their life not realizing the very heart of God, that he is long-suffering so that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 in your Bible. I want you to turn there. I want us to look at the scripture. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 2 and the fourth verse together. The Bible says, "Oh, despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Realize today that the goodness of God and the long suffering of God is for the purpose to draw us to the Savior. And I'm not just talking about someone who may be not saved. If you're listening to this message, then maybe you're just backslidden. You're just a Christian who's not right with God. I want you to know that the goodness of God and the long suffering of God and the forbearance of God is to draw you to the Lord. But we need to realize that God's goodness and God's long-suffering, God's forbearance, isn't forever. It isn't forever. As the Bible teaches us, there's a purpose in it. But God's opportunity, the opportunity that we have, will one day come to an end. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look what the Scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know the story of Noah. The story of Noah, an incredible story, how God used Noah to build an ark. God gave to him specific instructions, detailed plans, and how the ark was to be built. And Noah faithfully did what God had called him to do. And the Bible says, God said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." In fact, 120 years Noah preached that judgment would come. 120 years, the New Testament calls him the preacher of righteousness. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." I want you to consider this thought in this scripture. The Bible says this. The Bible says, while the ark was preparing, when the ark was done, God's judgment came. And the Bible says that God shut the door of the ark. The opportunity was gone. And the only people that were saved was Noah and his family. I want you to understand this. That wasn't God's fault. They had opportunity. God waited. God was long-suffering. But they had rejected the message of Noah. The Scripture says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is a long-suffering God, and the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. And as I mentioned before, the reason why Jesus didn't come back yesterday is because God wants people to get saved today. But wait a minute, there's a next verse in that scripture, verse 10, that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Listen, the Lord is long-suffering. There's no doubt about it. But the Bible also says that His Spirit will not always strive with man. And the day of the Lord will come. Jesus will come again. Death will come. Opportunity will close, the Scripture says. He is now preparing a world as He prepared, as Noah prepared an ark. God is now preparing a world for the very end, where the Antichrist, the events are all being put together that will usher in the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. And yet today is the opportunity, because the timing of God's long-suffering is He's not going to wait forever. And that's why the hymn writer said this, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. calling for you and for me. Patiently, Jesus is waiting and watching. He's watching for you and for me. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not His mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Time is now fleeting and moments are passing. Passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming. Coming for you and for me. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling, O sinner, come home. You know, I hear people say this often. If I was God, I wouldn't put up with the world. I'm glad that He is God. And the reason why God puts up with the rejection, the reason why God puts up with the blasphemy, the reason why God puts up with the cursing of His name, the reason why God puts up with the selfishness and the wickedness and the world smearing their sin in the face of God is because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to Him for salvation. But friend, I want you to know that His Spirit will not always strive with humanity. And one day the door of the ark will close. One day the day of the Lord will come. And the Bible says the opportunity will be over. The testimony of God's long-suffering for salvation. The timing of God's long-suffering, it's for a season. Let's think about, thirdly, for a moment, the truth about God's long-suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you have your Bible, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice a couple of words. I want to highlight a couple of words in this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. A couple of words. The Bible says this, "For He saith, I have heard thee in time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What is the Bible truth found around the long suffering of God? Listen, friend, this is the truth. I hope that you don't miss it. Now is the day. Now is the time we are to respond to God's invitation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the day to draw near to the Lord. Today is the day to flee youthful lusts. Today is the day to witness to that neighbor or to that loved one. The truth in the long suffering of God is those simple words, today and now, today and now. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, and yesterday's gone. Today is all we have. Now is the moment that God says, today and now, today and now. Speaking to his physician, John cried with great perplexity, "I might not live a week," he said. "Of course you may not, John, but very likely you will. And the medicine will be in the house. It will keep. You'll find yourself, if you find yourself getting worse, then you can take some then. I'm not going to charge you for it. If you feel worse tomorrow, then you can begin the medicine then." "Sir, I may be dead tomorrow." "Well, when do you propose to begin the medicine, John?" "Well, sir, I just thought you would tell me to take it today." "Begin today by all means," consented the doctor kindly. "I am glad to see you realize how foolish it would be to put off medicine tomorrow." And then the physician reflected on their past conversations about spiritual matters, inquired these things. He says, "But are you not being just as foolish, John, when you put off taking the medicine which the great physician has provided for your sin-sick soul? I plead with you, John. I plead with you. Don't put it off. And friend, today I plead with you. The reason why this world has another day today, the reason why you have the opportunity to hear this message, the reason why God is long-suffering, the truth behind it all, is that you would respond to the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God today. I plead with you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. If you're listening to this live stream and you're beside your computer and you're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, I plead with you today to put your faith and trust in Jesus right now. Right now. If you believe that Jesus died for you, if you believe that He paid your sin debt, you believe that He died and was risen from the grave, then friend, bow your head and call upon the name of the Lord. You could pray something like this. It's not about the words in your prayer, but the heart belief. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I put my faith and trust in You. I believe You died for me and rose again from the grave. Lord, be my Savior. Friend, today, don't put it off for another day. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Put your faith and trust in Jesus today. If you're not right with God, if you're not right with God, then get right with God today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I heard the cute story of a little girl who in Sunday school was taught about the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus, that we would meet Him one day in the clouds. And this little girl was so excited about this teaching in the Bible that she began to quiz her mother. And she said, "Mommy, do you believe that Jesus will come again?" And she said, "Yes, dear." She said, "Well, could it be today?" She said, "Yes." "Well, could it be in a few minutes?" And the mother said, "Yes, dear." She said, "Mommy, can you comb my hair? I may see Jesus today." That's wonderful faith. But friend, that's a wonderful truth. You may see Jesus today. Wouldn't it be wise to spiritually comb your hair, to spiritually get right, to see the Lord? People say, "Well, this could be the end. We could be living in the last days." We're not going to get into the theology behind it, but if it is, are you ready to see Jesus? Are you ready? You see, in this passage of Scripture, we see the long suffering of God. We may be face to face with Jesus real soon. "Be still," God says in these days. "Be still and know that I am a long-suffering God. I suffer long for a time, but you must act today. The truth is, you must call upon me now. Turn to me today, because you don't know what tomorrow holds." God help us today. God help us to embrace the long suffering of our Savior. You know, one thing I'm glad for is I'm glad that when I woke up this morning, God's mercies were new. And God hit the reset button on His mercies. Great, great is Thy faithfulness. Let's pray together.